for security? There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today.
All right, what's up, party people? Welcome to Friday, April 12th, 2024. This is episode number 599 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief Podcast. I am your host. I'm pretty sure it's episode 599. I can't see it. Let's just assume it's 599. I've got a really good feeling it's 599. Mods, can we get a confirmation? Anyways, welcome to the Daily Cyber Threat Brief. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher. And over the next 45 minutes or an hour and 15, roughly, me, you, Logan Fuller on LinkedIn, Marcus Kyler, the Yeet Crew, James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet with his joke, Gabe Lister, Justin Rohr, Kenyon Izzo, DJ Bisek from the lake, Kimberly from the couch, Casually Joseph from Hackspace, Gone Hemoglobin, Keith Sloan coming in hot, Brian Mulder parachuting in. We are all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day, and I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of the stories on what it means to you as a practitioner. Or if you're looking to break into the industry, you're going to get value here. You're going to be asked in any job interview, how do you stay current? This right here, in all of its glory, is the answer. It's epic. And the networking, if you ever wanted to know how to use the word, the phrase chef's kiss, look at the networking over there. Two windows over, just flowing. Dr. Finest, Toasty Pops, Carol, Space Tacos, Lee Mueller. It's just absolutely banger. Now, before we get into it, I do want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsor. Start with my good friend, Eric Taylor, Casually Joseph. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, if you are in need of help because your company has been absolutely slapped around by threat actors and you need to yeet them out, let me tell you, Barricade Cyber Solutions, they're dedicated to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks, they cause massive issues for businesses, believe me. But guess what? Barricade Cyber Solutions knows how to mitigate the damage done. They know how to yeet threat actors out. They need no...
Catch me outside. How about that?
That should be their motto. Their informal slogan is, catch me outside. How about that? Because they can help you get compromises out the environment. The NIST Cybersecurity Framework, the all the way to the right, the recover phase, that's where they're going to get you. Check them out at barricadecyber.com. Links in the description below. Also want to say shout out and love to Anti-Siphon Training. Come at me, Anti-Siphon Training. Anti-Siphon Training is disrupting the traditional training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, regardless of their financial position. They offer students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and engage with their community in a fun and inclusive way. Go to antisiphontraining.com. That's the wrong link. There we go. Go to antisiphontraining.com. Also, shout out this right here. If you're not familiar, right here on stage, this is Wading Through Logs, Simply Cyber community member. Good to see you, Wade. Looking good. He's got a training in Anti-Siphon, so you can go check that out as well. Gosh, I love this community. You guys are awesome. All right. Now, if you didn't know, I actually do not prep or research for any of these stories, which will be painfully obvious in a hot minute. But I do deliver value, so don't sleep on that. It's just funny that, I don't want to. You know, here's the reason. I never tell you guys this. The reason I don't prep or research for the stories is because I don't want to be up here like a poser. Like, oh, did you know that in 1997, this particular wicked niche thing that no one really knows about because I had to Google it before the stream started, now I look wicked smart? No. F that. I want to make it as if we're having coffee before we're getting started for the work. And I'm like, did you see the news story? What are your thoughts? Here are mine. Like, let's go. So that's what's up. Also, every single episode, just like this one, is worth half a CPE. So be sure to say what's up in chat. Hashtag Team SC if you're a regular here or you want to be. Yosef, he's a new one to the scene. And Yosef is hashtag Team SC. I am also hashtag Team SC. Team Simply Cyber. I love it, love it, love it. Thanks, Groove and Martin. If today is your first episode, episode 599 is your first episode, welcome to the party, pal. Do me a favor, say what's up in chat, and let us wash over you with an awesome emote, an awesome sound effect. I'll tease it out right here for you first-timers. Don't be shy.
Welcome to the party, pal.
We love welcoming you to the party, pal. If you're a first-timer, if you see someone who's a first-timer, if you bring someone up in here, welcome to the party. Let them feel welcome. Guys, we are a supportive, inclusive community, and that's why we do it. But guess what? Wah, wah, wah. Episode 600 is on Monday. Dropping bombs, man. All right, guys. Let me do this. As much as it's fun to get up here, listen to music, high five, giddy up on a Friday, we do have work to do. So do me a favor. Sit back, relax, and let the cool waves in like the most spa-like fashion wash over you as I deliver hot takes in an awesome wave. Let's go.
A CISO, still worth it, it seems like.
All right, misfire. Dude, I'm telling you, I slept terrible last night. I occasionally forget to bring, like when you bring the podcast into Spotify, you do have to like manually move it into the playlist to make it look right. So, that's from Wayne's World. If you don't, if you're young and you don't know what that means.
From the CISO series, it's cybersecurity headlines.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Friday, April 12th, 2024.
Hold on, do we have a tech job, Tina? Is that a newbie? What's up? I didn't see first timer, but the way chat's reacting.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party, pal. Good to see you. Thanks for saying hi, first timers. And just disregard the you are so dumb and the mod love emote. Like my new mouse is clicky.
I'm Steve Prentice.
Hey, Steve.
Palo Alto Networks fixes several denial-of-service vulnerabilities in PAN-OS operating system. In an advisory posted Wednesday, the company stated that a rash of patches has been released in part to address a packet processing mechanism in PAN-OS software that enables a remote attacker to reboot hardware-based firewalls. When this is done repeatedly, it can, quote, trigger a denial-of-service condition by forcing the firewall into maintenance mode, requiring manual intervention to restore online functionality, end quote. This vulnerability affects the PA5400 and PA7000 series of firewalls. Information on this and other patches released can be reviewed in the advisories listed in the show notes to this episode.
All right, couple things here. You know, this story is very, very relevant to us as practitioners. Palo Alto firewalls, they are very good firewalls. You typically see them at the edge. You can have them internal and stuff like that. They did say it was on hardware firewalls only. I wasn't even aware that PA makes software firewalls. That might be part of their like SD-WAN package or something, but it's not. It's fairly common for you to have a hardware PA racked and stacked in your environment. The PAN OS, don't get overwhelmed by that. This is basically just the Palo Alto interface that you would interact with and stuff like that. And this denial of service condition, this is not just sending massive amounts of traffic like we normally see when we say denial of service. This is basically just a peckerhead move where you're sending a crafted packet that causes it to reboot. You know what? If you got an old 8-bit Nintendo, and you olds know what I'm talking about, the youngs, just Google it or go in the Wayback Machine and you'll see it. But like, imagine if you will, you're trying to play Ninja Gaiden. And like every time it's like you're watching that little awesome intro video thing. And then some threat actor hits the reset button, which is to the right of the power button on the old Nintendo NES. And then like, you're like, oh, and then it loads up again. And then they hit the reset button. Then they hit the reset button. Then they hit the reset button. You're losing your mind because all you want to do is play mission 1-1 of Ninja Gaiden. And you got this threat actor over here hitting the reset button. That's exactly what's going on here. Now, I did not know this, but apparently it will. That would be a denial of service attack anyways, right? But apparently the PAN OS, the Palo Alto, if it pukes on itself enough, it will it'll basically transition over to a maintenance mode, which is a pretty common mechanism, right? Like there's production mode, and then when you need staff to work on it and do things, you can enter a maintenance mode. And I'm not going to get into all the nuances of that, but the whole thing is there'll be like additional functionality available. It'll understand that it maybe needs to do testing and rebooting. If you've got your firewalls kind of in like a redundant way, you know, again, I'm not a Palo Alto expert, but if you have like your firewalls configured in a redundant way, I believe when you enter maintenance mode, it'll start routing traffic through your, you know, your alternative main interface. So you can basically be down. Think of it as like when they're doing road construction on the highway and they put up those Jersey barriers, like all of a sudden you're driving like in the wrong lane, heading in the wrong direction, but it's okay because it's been set up for that. That's kind of what's happening here. TLDR, this is a very specific issue, and it only affects two kinds of PA firewalls, and it only affects them if they are configured with NTLM authentication enabled. I don't know how prevalent NTLM authentication is in 2024. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, I think like the crux of Kerber roasting is associated with NTLM. I might be swimming out of my swim lane, right? I'm like past the buoys and like kind of choppy water. But anyways, this is not a, I almost wonder what the CVSS score is on this. 8.2. You could see it's 8.2. I suspect it's 8.2 because it requires a little bit of sophistication. Not terrible. If a threat actor publishes or someone finds out what those specially crafted packets are, you'll be able to like any schlub who doesn't know what they're doing would still be able to fire them off. Basically, here's the deal. If you are InfoSec and you're not part of the networking team or part of the IT team, this is a simple copy and paste of the URL. If you have Palo Alto in your environment, just send it over to the networking team. Say, hey, this is looks like an issue. I don't know if it affects our infrastructure, but we'd really appreciate getting a sit rep, like a status. Like, is this affect us? If yes, when can you patch it? Thank you. And maybe you don't CC the head of IT right away, but if you don't get a response in 24, 48 hours, maybe come back on Monday, follow up. All right. This is a nice, clean, snackable story right here.
Sisense breach exposes customers to potential supply chain attack. The breach that affected the well-known manufacturer of business analytics software is sufficiently important to prompt CISA to issue an alert. According to CyberScoop, quote, although the details of the attack are not yet clear, the breach may have exposed hundreds of Sisense's customers to a supply chain attack and provided the attacker with a door into the company's customer networks, end quote. The CISA alert strongly recommends that Sisense customers reset credentials that may be exposed to or used to access Sisense services. In addition, cybersecurity researcher Mark Rogers has urged current and former customers of Sisense to not underestimate the risk posed by this breach.
All right. I mean, guys, like getting hit with a breach, that's not a fun day, right? Talking to the executives about, oh, we had a data breach, not a fun day. And then like when CISA enters the chat, you're like, ah, damn. CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, directed by Our Lady of Cybersecurity, Jen Easterly, squad members. If you're a new squad member, you didn't know, you have access to a Jen Easterly emote. Hi, Jen. Good to see you. I like to think that Jen is a passive observer lurking in the chat, but not saying anything. hey, Jen. Basically, a business analog software company had a breach. I'm confused why CISA got involved in this. It sounds like it's because of who their client base is. Maybe, you know, kind of Fortune 500 people. Sisense customers recent creds for Sisense services. Here's the thing, guys. You know what I mean? Like, here's my thing. Like, CISA telling them to reset creds. Can't Sisense reset creds? Right? Compromise of Sisense customer data, like reset credentials and secrets potentially exposed to or used to access Sisense services. Why can't Sisense expire the credentials, right? I'm just saying really quickly, this is like, it's like, It's like basically, imagine if you will, you know, you go to the grocery store and you got your little, like, you know, frequent shopper card or whatever that thing is. And like that data gets breached, right? And all of a sudden, Piggly Wiggly is sending out a message. Not even Piggly Wiggly, like the US government's like, hey, if you shop at Piggly Wiggly, you might want to throw away your frequent flyer scan card thing and get a new one. Like, why can't Piggly Wiggly just expire all of them and tell people when they walk in, hey, if you want to use this, do it. I think it has to do with
straight cash, homie.
Sisense doesn't want to introduce friction to its customer base. I think that that is a major problem. Honestly, I honestly think that it's incumbent upon a business when they have a breach, especially a breach of credentials, right? If it was just a breach of customer data, I mean, that still sucks, but like, it's, you know, what are you going to do? The data's out. You can't reset it, but a credential, you gotta reset. So I think this might have something to do with straight cash, homie, unfortunately. I will say, guys, this is a really tough one. So as a GRC person, you'd like to think that you know who all the third parties are that you're using. You'd like to know, you know, what providers, et cetera, third party risk. But unfortunately, stuff like this, you know, the CFO might be like, oh, like, let's just get in here and see what's up. Sisense offers really interesting information in business analytics, which means the marketing department might be up in this business. And when they make the deal with Sisense, they probably just give them money and Sisense gives them access to, you know, a platform. They upload in a bunch of data, which already should bring in information security at that point, but they don't need to. There's no interfaces into your, I mean, there can be, but there might not be. So long story short, it's quite possible your business is using Sisense and you don't know it, unfortunately. For me personally, if you are a smaller business, a mid-sized business, a regional business, maybe you don't use this. This company seems more like Fortune 500, Fortune 1000. I would just say, if you are in that kind of scope, if you even think for a hot minute that your company may be using data analytics, business analytics, maybe scoop this up and fire it off to like the marketing department, the financial department, right? CMO, CFO, if you can, if you're a really large business and you don't feel comfortable emailing directly the CFO, because that's kind of like a BDS move in a large company to email the CFO. Maybe the director of finance, whatever. You just got to get this information in front of them and just simply say, hey, I don't know if we're using Sisense, but I just wanted to check. Can you let me know if you're aware if we're using Sisense? Because we will need to take some actions to protect our business. Simple email. You don't have to get into the hack. You don't have to get into CISA. You don't have to get into any of that. Just kind of broach it and then take it from there. This is GRC, work.
Threat actors gaming GitHub search. A warning from Yehuda Gelb, research engineer at Checkmarks, who states that threat actors are working hard to ensure that malicious code hidden in legitimate-looking GitHub repositories is used by as many developers as possible. This is done largely by using techniques that ensure that these repositories appear at the top of GitHub's search results. Two techniques that Gelb identifies include using GitHub Actions to automatically update malicious repositories at high frequency, which artificially boosts their visibility for search terms such as most recently updated, and secondly, the use of multiple fake accounts that add stars to these malicious repos.
All right. Dude, again, this is not a show that promotes or endorses any cyber criminal activity, all right? But again, hey, hat tip to threat actors. This looks like this might be a new course for Threat Actor Academy next semester. GitHub is a massive data repo, open source software platform that anyone can contribute to. You know, I have a GitHub page. You probably have a GitHub page, right? Everybody's got this going on, and threat actors have figured out, like, holy damn, let's weaponize this. So you have been seeing multiple different types of attacks on GitHub. And again, I don't love it, but as an academic, right? As a lifelong learner, I appreciate it. Like, I hate saying it, but like, I appreciate the innovation, the ingenuity, the cleverness to push and weaponize GitHub in many different ways. Okay, so check this out. Specific to this story, what they're doing is A, they're creating fake accounts in order to amplify and promote the legitimacy of malicious packages. This is no different than saying a fake, you know, 1,000 fake Twitter accounts, and then someone posts like, oh, you should check out this sweet NFT. And then all of a sudden there's like 1,000 hearts, 1,000 reposts, 1,000 reshares, you know, generic comments like, oh, this is great. My wife loves this. I doubled my, you know, money on this, like best NFT ever, like all that crap, right? And basically it gives it a false sense of authority and social proof, which is a marketing technique to psychologically persuade people to think, oh, this is legit. Think for a second, if you were to download an app from an app store and it had zero stars, zero reviews, you'd be like, ugh, this is kind of sussy. But you go into the same app store and there's an app called Wicked Not Dangerous. Seriously, this is a safe app. Crush, you know, whatever, video game. And then it has 5,000 reviews and, you know, a 4.5 star review. Immediately, you're like, well, this seems kind of cool. Like, let's go. And in reality, it's all manufactured support, manufactured stars, manufactured reviews. It's total horse crap. And the threat actors know it. So they're doing the same exact thing with GitHub right now. They're amplifying that. On top of that, they're using essentially like, again, hat tip to the threat actors. They're essentially using DevOps techniques for constant continuous integration, continued deployment. So they're constantly making updates, which means the packages look like they're maintained hyper, like in a hyper fashion, right? So you're like, oh, damn, look at this thing. It got an update 8 minutes ago. Ooh, it's got 5 stars, 30,000 reviews, and it was updated like 30 times in the last 2 days. Give me some of that, right? So you got to be careful. You got to educate your end users. Like, I know we joke about Carl, but dude, developers are out there, people hacking and kind of cobbling together solutions, engineers, people who are rapid prototyping. These things happen and they're going to get caught in these traps, right? It's basically like a little mouse trap, and the piece of cheese in the mouse trap is like a really cool looking new piece of code. Just as a quick aside, another like threat actor thing that they did with GitHub recently that was pretty clever is they were scouring, looking for kind of abandoned GitHub repos. I think it was GitHub, maybe it was GitHub or PyPy, but they were looking for abandoned repos and then registering, like registering those repos and then starting to put malware there, essentially kind of taking the trust that those repos had built over time and just basically shoving malware in it. Another technique that they use that you should be mindful of if you weren't here for all the stories is they're using people who are using AI to generate code where it'll import libraries that don't exist, right? Because AI doesn't know any better, and it'll be like, import Marcus Kyler Yeet Crew. Like that pipe, that that package in Python doesn't exist. But if you create a piece of malware, name it that, then all of a sudden this AI code is ingesting it. So anyways, a couple different techniques. Threat actors, they've obviously discovered that this is a hot piece of area, right?
That Hansel's so hot right now.
It's a hot piece of area. Anytime you see threat actors spending a lot of time on a certain area, they are seeing it as a hot area. Think about it for a second. This isn't an academic exercise. These threat actors, this is how they feed their kids. This is how they heat their house. Okay? So they're going to go where they get the greatest return on investment. A threat actor isn't, I mean, here's my thing, guys. Academics in universities, they work on these fringe cases. Spectre 2, just in yesterday's news. Very cool, but wicked not, you know, going to pay the bills. This going to pay the bills, right? So if it wasn't GitHub all day, every day, if people weren't using GitHub all over the place, these threat actors wouldn't be getting gains. They wouldn't be getting the return on the investment, and they would abandon this and go somewhere else. It's all about straight cash, homie, and return on your investments, meaning your time investment, right? That's why there's more malware for Windows systems than Mac, because there's more Windows systems in the world than Mac. Period. Full stop. Let's go.
Yeah, faces $10 million ransomware demand. Following up on a story we covered last week, the Japan-headquartered international manufacturer of optical instruments, medical equipment, and electronic components is now facing a $10 million ransom to obtain a file decryptor and to not have its files released. The ransomware operation Hunters International has been identified as behind the attack. As a ransomware as a service operation, this group uses an encryptor that shares code with the Hive ransomware operation, although it denies any affiliation with that group. It is known, however, for attacking companies in a wide range of industries and also hits hospitals and individual patients.
All right, today I learned about a company I'd never heard of that was, you know, pretty successful called Hoya. You know what? Here's the deal, guys. Those lenses in your glasses, Jerry guys here, shh, be cool, right? The lenses, someone has to make them, right? There's a business there. Well, apparently the business is called Hoya. And if they're getting hit with a $10 million ransom, listen, most times, or at least historically speaking, last time I did the last time I got out my scientific calculator, pulled a pen out of my pocket protector and crunched the numbers, ransomware demands typically are around 3-7% of annual revenue. Let's do a little fact check and see if I'm an absolute liar. Let's see, annual revenue 2023 for Hoya. What is it? 5,000 million? What is that? Is that 5 billion? So $5 billion. Okay, 10% would be 500 million. So this is even way lower. Bro, holy crap. So 10 million is literally like a tenth of a percent. So here's the deal. This amount of money, I'm not saying it's insignificant, but dude, Hoya, if you had a rash on your back of your leg right now, right? And someone was like, listen, for 0.1% of your annual salary, right? Let's say you make $100,000 and they're like, listen, for 10 bucks, that rash can go away right now. I can make that rash go away for $10. You'd pull out your wallet in a hot minute and be like, your phone and be like, you accept Venmo? Like, this rash sucks. So this is actually a pretty low ransom for a company like Hoya. Whether they pay it or not, I don't know. This particular ransomware group, Hunters International, I haven't heard before, so put them on your list. They are targeting effectively a manufacturing company. They manufacture optics. That's all that matters. But as an industry, manufacturing gets slapped left, right, and center because there's a direct correlation between being able to produce product and revenue, right? So if they're like right now, they're not making optics, which means in about 3 months, 4 months, when the supply chain, there's going to be like an air bubble in their supply chain, and they're going to feel that. And I guarantee you, again, they're going to lose more than $10 million. That's the rub. Think about it for a second. If they make $5 billion a year, right? Divide that by 365. Let's just say they make $3.65 billion a year, right? So they make $100 million a day. Okay. They make $100 million a day. For every day they're down because they didn't pay $10 million, they're losing 10x on what it would cost to fix the problem. This is the economics of ransomware, and threat actors know it, and they know that there is massive pressure coming from the executive team to pay this. Think about it for a second. You could pay $10 million today, or you can lose $100 million today. What do you want to do, right? Let's go.
And now a word from our sponsor, Vanta. The average security pro spends nearly a full workday every week just on compliance. With Vanta, you can automate compliance for in-demand frameworks like SOC 2, ISO 27001, and HIPAA.
Real quick, my math might have been off. It might be $10 million a day for $3.65 billion. Anyways, the point is, it's one day of business, right? Like, anyways... Okay, you all get it.
Even more, Vanta's market-leading trust management platform enables you to unify security program management with a built-in risk register and reporting and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 fast-growing companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Watch Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/CISO to learn more. That's VANTA.com/CISO. And before we get back to the news, a quick reminder to subscribe to Capture the CISO podcast. We're launching season 2 next week. This competitive show pits 3 vendors against one another to see which one can impress our CISO judges the most. The first episode drops April 17th with vendors Anvilogic, Lumius, and Onexia. Click on the blue Capture the CISO logo at the top of CISOseries.com to check out each of the vendor demos before listening to the episode. And now back to the newscast.
All right, everybody. Great day. I hope you're having a great stream. If you are, hit the like button real quick. If you're at Hackspace Con, hit the like button really quick. If you're Deb Wiggly, hit the like button really quick. Listen, y'all, I don't care about the vanity of it. I don't go and like turn the lights off and I'm like, all right, now that the stream's over, let's count how many likes I got. No. It literally is a trigger for the YouTube algorithm to go tell other people watching cyber content on YouTube what we're doing here. So pay it forward. Hit the like button. Appreciate it. Shout out to the stream sponsors again, Barricade Cyber, Anti-Siphon. Love what they're doing. I do want to say really quickly, shout out to my friends, Daniel Lowry and Kathy Chambers over at Hackspace Con right there. I just want to give a little shout out to obviously both of them, but Kathy Chambers right there representing hashtag Team SC. Looking good, Kathy. Definitely love it. Thank you so very much for being just a power player in the space and a great, great human. All right, guys. Anti-Siphon. Whoa. Augustine with a squad membership. Brian Hannigan being gifted by Augustine Garcia. Get on that squad emo, Brian Harrigan. Guys, every single day we do the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Today, the current baton holder is Davian Alexander. Davian Alexander, I'm going to drop his link in chat. I was not connected with Davian Alexander, and I've sent him a connection request. This is how easy it is to do it. So if Davian Alexander is in chat and can tag someone, I would appreciate it. Here's what you need to know, y'all. If you want to blow up your LinkedIn feed, get a lot of meaningful connections with like-minded professionals, and you want to have your LinkedIn feed mostly cybersecurity content, then listen up. It's very simple. Go on LinkedIn, search for the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge, just like I did, and connect with the people posting. Like I said, Davian Alexander has the baton. It's as simple as that. 5 minutes a day, comment on the posts. Comment on the posts, and you'll be able to, more people will connect with you passively, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Basically, you put in the work today, you comment on the post, you connect with people in comments, and the next person who comes through will comment and connect to the people in the comments, which is you. So passively, you'll be building your network. I'm telling you, this is how we basically hack LinkedIn and mesh the Simply Cyber community and basically just weaponize LinkedIn in an awesome way. We do need someone to take the baton. So Davian Alexander, please tag someone. If he's not in chat, let us know and I'll tag somebody. All you need to do is raise your hand and say you would like to take on the challenge, and you'll go on LinkedIn, share your story, and watch the connections flow in. It's awesome. Giddy up on that. Now, every single day of the week has a special segment, and Friday is Grayson's Joke of the Week, presented by James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. James McQuiggan coming in hot with jokes. So here we go. What beef only comes in 2, 3, 5, 7, or 11-ounce portions? I don't know if you guys have been to Hall's Chop House here in the Low Country, but they only serve beef in 2, 3, 5, 7, or 11-ounce portions. You might see it on the menu as a prime rib. A prime rib. All right. How does the moon get a haircut? How does the moon get a haircut, James McQuiggan, at 35,000 feet? Well, obviously, the eclipses it. Eclipses it. That one is a groan. That one is a groan. All right. Seeing it's the Masters Golf Tournament this weekend, how many golfers does it take to change a light bulb? How many golfers does it take to change a light bulb? Anyone want to guess? Four! It takes four. All right. And, of course, James is wearing these socks right now. Ain't no joke like a dad joke. Ain't no joke like a dad joke. Love it, love it, love it. James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet, ladies and gentlemen. This is Team SC. It's a community effort. It takes a village. And speaking of a village, I would love to just take a hot minute and give a quick shout out. You know I love playing the wrecking ball sound effect. Our very own Joel Belton, hashtag Joel B, mod, longtime squad member, Joel Belton has secured a new job. He's cranking, he's crushing it. I came in like a wrecking ball. Getting in that sock, Joel Belton, congratulations. Love it, love it, love it. Let's finish strong, everybody.
Cyber attack hits five French municipalities with the impact to last for months. More trouble for French citizens, with five municipalities near the River Loire suffering a large-scale cyber attack on their shared computer servers. Offices and services are paralyzed in five towns with a combined population of 100,000. Additional details, such as the nature of the incident, information on any theft of data, the origin of the cyber attack, or its expected duration, are currently unknown.
All right. Okay. Let's see. So France getting slapped around, large-scale cyber attack. Again, that's a very subjective statement. We'll see what that means. Staff can't access documents to get their work done. You guys smell that? Smells like ransomware. Let's go. Let's continue digging. Okay. Population of 100,000. Dude, I mean, these European cities, there was a couple small Italian ones that got hit, a couple French ones. So they're like municipalities, right? You know, I'm not downplaying it, but it's kind of like Baltimore getting hit, or Dallas, or Houston, or, you know, Atlanta. Whatever. So threat actors, you know, it looks like local state municipalities aren't in a great spot, not just in America, but internationally. Staff were instructed not to turn on their computers and not to use their phones to check their inboxes. Yuck. So this thing is a bit of a hairy fungus that's just kind of growing everywhere. Side chat. Fungus makes me think of Fungus Among Us. Incubus, the album from Incubus before they became whatever they are now. I like old Incubus. I'm old though. I yell at clouds. All right. Let's see. The incident follows a ransomware attack on a French township. Yes, exactly. They don't say, okay, so they say large scale attack. They don't say ransomware. You know, if I was going to put money down, right? It's ransomware. Five French municipalities hit. If I had to guess, one of two things is happening. One, somebody did a coordinated attack. Low confidence in that. Speculative hot take, high confidence. If I just got, you know, if I just dropped down from a parachute into this situation, I would immediately assume that these five municipalities share back-end IT resources, and that's why five were hit. Because the five of them are sharing managed services. It's not good. They will recover. But, you know, it sucks. It sucks.
Maker says Taiwan earthquake will affect its DRAM supply. Micron Technology stated yesterday that the April 3rd earthquake in Taiwan will hurt a calendar quarter of its dynamic random access memory supply. With four locations in Taiwan, the company has a disproportionate role in the global chip supply chain, chips that are used in data centers, personal computers, smartphones, and other computing devices. However, despite not being at full production numbers at present, the company said there would be no impact to its long-term DRAM supply capability. Financial firm.
All right. All right. So if you guys don't know, there was an earthquake in Taiwan. With the cool thing with social media nowadays and everybody having a phone camera in their hand, There's plenty of content on the interwebs. Seeing the earthquake. I got to sneeze. Hold on. Excuse me. But, you know, manufacturing can get hit. Apparently, DRAM supply is going to be screwed by Micron. Okay. Like, I don't know. So the earthquake is going to hurt calendar quarter of its dynamic random access supply by up to a mid-single digit percentage. What the hell is, I'm sorry, a mid-single digit percentage? Like, you couldn't, what does that mean? Like, mid-single, like five? Are we, is that what we're talking about? Like, like I'll just go on a limb here and use the number, what would be a mid-single digit, 5%. Now, I don't know what this means for the greater, you know, production of computers and compute technology. Long-term, I don't know if DRAM is used heavily in AI or any of these like DPUs, data processing unit, GPUs. Like typically, well, I mean, I guess you wouldn't even use RAM in the processing units. I don't know where they're using DRAM. Here's my thing. Dude, Micron isn't the only game in town making RAM, right? There's a ton of RAM out there. There's manufacturing all over the place. I don't know if this is going to hiccup anything. We saw during the pandemic, manufacturing of laptops and desktops and stuff like that go dramatically down due to supply chain. And we managed to not, you know, you couldn't get tech refresh as often, but it wasn't like devastating. So to me, this is like, you know, it's noteworthy, but at the same time, this isn't, you know what I'm not doing? This isn't like pre-pandemic toilet paper hoarding where you're like, oh, hey, Brian Mulder, Space Tacos, jump in the car and go down to Best Buy and scoop up all the DRAM. We're going to corner the market on DRAM. Hey, Glum Hippo, Pamela Joshua, let's roll out to Costco. OSIN 777, you go down to BJ's. ZMEF, you hit up Sam's warehouse. Let's get all the DRAM. We're going to have to hunker down. No, it's like, whatever. I mean, it sucks. It sucks that a national disaster or natural disaster causes this, but it's worth noting. Oh, you know what? I do like providing some, the more you know kind of nuggets for practitioners. This one's a good one for this reason, okay? When we make controls, when we do like GRC work and we're like looking holistically at a program to put in security controls to reduce risk to reasonable levels for, you know, the amount of money we're given and everything. 85, 90% of the time, you should be thinking about threat actors. They're the number one threat, okay? But you can't sleep on environmental threats and kind of like natural threats, right? So environmental threats, right? If you put the, like, for example, right now, I have a all-in-one printer over there and it's directly beneath my air conditioner, which is a terrible idea because if the air conditioner leaks, it's going to leak onto the technology and it's going to crack it, which is not good. So that's an environmental risk. However, my all-in-one is an HP, so I hope the air conditioner leaks on it so I can have an excuse to get rid of that piece of trash. Now, natural disasters is another thing you got to give consideration to. Flood, earthquakes, fire, you know, act of God type stuff. So again, you don't account for it all the time. And typically this is more about their product, but as far as their like manufacturing goes, this is why you have alternative hot sites. Like if you need, like if Netflix, for example, Netflix definitely has multiple data centers that are able to deliver Netflix at, you know, in high bandwidth, right? So if for whatever AW East goes down because, or even better, AW West, the wildfires in California during fire season just friggin' crushes and wipes out Amazon AWS West, where Netflix is hosted, they can spin up AW East right away and continue to deliver Netflix without an issue because they've accounted for that natural threat. Okay, so don't sleep on that. We always get wrapped around the axle on threat actors, and for good reason. They're the number one threat, but don't sleep on environmental and natural. And if you're going to take the CISP exam, you're going to, they're obviously going to ask you about that. So just, you know, there we go.
Firms lose $12 billion to cyber attacks in two decades. This number comes from the International Monetary Fund and represents losses from 20,000 cyber attacks. The data is contained in the IMF's April 2024 Global Financial Stability Report. This report continues by pointing out that, quote, financial organizations are at the receiving end of roughly one-fifth of all cyber attacks, with cyber criminals seeking to steal money or disrupt economic activities, end quote. The report also predicts that reliance on third-party IT service providers and the rise of AI use could expose financial institutions to additional risks, such as outages caused by ransomware attacks on the service providers and, of course, AI-related data leaks. A link to the report is available in the show notes to this episode.
All right. So the IMF has released a report saying this is the International Monetary Fund. I think these are big brains doing, macro financial things. Again, I literally suck at finances. You know what I mean? So I don't pretend to understand any of this crap. I will say that a growing cyber risk, a growing concern for macro financial stability. Guys, in 2016, John Clapper, hold on one second. John Clapper. What was he? He was a US government. What was he? He was head of director of national intelligence in 2016. Okay, so John Clapper, 2016. I know this is a deep cut, major risks, okay? Annual threat assessment to the United States intelligence community. This was in 2016, okay? Actually, I mean, okay, they're all here, right? But I'm just going to quickly go to the 2016 one, okay? I know this is a deep cut, so please bear with me, okay? Global threats, okay? Again, I know this is a ridiculous deep cut. Just please work with me on this one. Global threats. How do I enhance? Computer, enhance. Global threats. Okay, 2016. Number one, cyber and technology. WMDs, terrorism, space, counter intel. Yeah, get in line, Brosif. You know what? If you're not the lead dog, the view doesn't change. We were the number one concern, the number one global threat in 2016. Fast forward to 2018. IMF. Like, hold my beer, bro. Like, did you miss the bus? Like, I get it. It's cool to show up casually late to the party, but 8 years, son? Come on. Come on, man. Listen, yes, cyber threat actors, financial systems are connected all over the place. Everybody's online. There's only one internet and it's incredibly hostile. Microservices, cloud-based everything, right? Moving at the speed of business. Yes, 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 yes. But we've had these issues for a decade, son. Like, I get it. I don't know what analyst was like, oh man, I can't believe I've discovered cyber risk. Again, you know what? I shouldn't throw shade on this. We can use this to help convince our CFOs to invest in InfoSec. So never let a good incident go to waste. But you know what I mean? Like, dude, when Russia invaded Ukraine, the Ukrainian IT army shut down the Russian stock market for a day. Like, yes, microfinancial stability is a growing concern. But, you know, whatever. Like, again, I hate to poo-poo this. I'm sure some analysts put a lot of time into this, but supervisors should hold board members responsible for managing the cyber of financial firms. Okay, I know you can't see it. I've highlighted it here. Getting a board member to be held responsible for a cyber thing, let me know how that works out for you.
Mexican news channel accidentally airs man's testicles instead of solar eclipse. Yes, you heard me right. A Mexican media outlet covering Monday's solar eclipse and which had invited viewers to submit videos of the event had to cut its segment short when, quote, the hosts realized they had instead shown a video of a man blocking the sun with his testicles, end quote. The hosts explained that such were the dangers of dealing with footage from viewers, and for what it's worth, the video is not live, but has been around since a previous eclipse in 2017. From a cybersecurity standpoint, one could perhaps take from this a lesson to never accept a suspicious package from an unknown source.
Okay. All right. I mean, hey, what a way to roll into the weekend. Shout out to whoever, whatever, foggy headed from bong resin group of college kids who were in their room that were like, oh my God, you know what you should do? You know what you should do? We should totally send in that and see if it gets on the air. And then they were probably holding their stomachs, like almost borderline peeing their pants. This is ridiculously funny. It's completely inappropriate, okay? Right? I wouldn't do this myself. I don't endorse this, but this is hilarious. It makes me think of, do you guys remember, again, this is a family-friendly show, so like, don't get too deep on this, but do you guys remember during the early pandemic when people were texting like, the vaccine's out, or hey, you should check out this new thing, and it would be like a picture of a guy, but the guy was kind of, it was a not suitable for work picture. I think his name was Carl. Maybe it was like a very famous picture that was being sent around. And it was kind of like, it was, exactly. Deb Wigley. This was a really ballsy move. Nice, Deb Wigley. So anyways, good God, what a way to go into the weekend. If you're Hackspace Con right now, be careful looking to the stars. You might see something you don't want to see. Wow. Let's go. Thank you, CISO series. I do agree. This has no business being on CISO series. This has nothing. I guess, you know what? I will turn this into a cybersecurity education learning opportunity. You should be mindful when you are accepting data or packages or binaries from untrusted, unverified, unvalidated sources, right? So if you're downloading a package, stop. If you're downloading a package or a binary or, ingesting some type of open source library and you don't know the source, it needs to be treated as such with zero trust. Okay. So just be careful. Okay. All right. Rex or the super chat. Just become best friends. Yep. Did I just travel back in time to the April 1st episode? Absolutely. Hey, really quickly, if you didn't catch it last night, we had Savannah Lazara, live guest. Amazing talk, talking Red Team Village, talking OFSEC. She gave a ton of tips and tricks to get into the industry. Definitely go check it out. I'll drop a link in chat. Just a really wonderful community member. We got a couple minutes here. I want to say again, thank you to everybody for being here. If you have to go, completely understand. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope you had a great episode and a great brief with us on the show today. If you're at Hackspace Con, be sure to say hi to the entire Anti-Siphon Black Hills team. They're there. Say hi to Casually Joseph. He's wandering around. IT Hooligan, did you, as far as a baton pass, Justin IT Hooligan, did you officially accept the baton pass? I need you to officially accept it. If you are at Hackspace Con right now and you want to meet up with people, either drop it in chat right now or say go to the Simply Cyber Discord server. There is a conference meetup channel on the server that you can definitely take advantage of. Otherwise, guys, have a good one. Be awesome. Sean McGinnis, you're the man. Thank you, Sean McGinnis. All right, guys, I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I'll see you on Monday for episode 600 that we're going to be straight kicking and crushing. If you want to stick around for a little jawjacking, I think Jerry guy is in the house, so we'll see if we can get him on the stream. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Until next time, stay secure. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Jawjacking. For the next 20, 30 minutes or so, we'll be doing an AMA and ask me anything. If you have questions about cybersecurity industry, certifications, networking, resources, what is TCP/IP? How do I become a detection engineer? Any level of question, there are no bad questions. There are no stupid questions. We don't have time for that, and we don't tolerate toxicity up in here. So drop it in chat. If you want to connect with people, say hello. We're off and running. My name is Jerry Guy, my alter ego for Dr. Gerald Osher, that nerd who runs the Daily Threat Brief. All right, Justin IT Hooligan did not accept the baton pass officially, so it's up. Next person who says they want the baton, please say, I want the baton, and let's go. Got my chapstick on. I'm pretty pumped, guys. Got some news. I don't take time off, like, ever, which is a real problem. Oh, Justin IT Hooligan has officially accepted. Let's go. So, Justin IT Hooligan, we will see you on LinkedIn. Can't wait for you to share your story. All right, so Jazzy Jazz with the first question. NTLM is mainly used when? I thought it was outdated. I believe it is outdated also, Jazzy Jazz. I'm Googling right now. Oh, NTLM was replaced by Kerberos. Okay. Yeah, so, okay, so that's what's up, I guess. NTLM, NT LAN Manager. It's an older protocol. So to Jazzy Jazz's question, why would you still be using it in 2024? Well, unfortunately, if there is, thanks, Pamela Joshua, if there is legacy technology and it cannot accept Kerberos, if there is antiquated OT systems built in the 70s, maybe you have, you know, custom built crap that you just can't sunset. Those could be reasons for NTLM. All right. Super chat's coming in wicked hot.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. George Strasburger, if you're local to Boston, there's a CyberCon next Friday. We could do a conference meetup. Plus, I have a few free ticket codes if you want one. Thank you, George Strasburger. If you do, that's wicked cool. I do want to point everybody to share a screen. Which screen you guys going to get? Oh, you got the right one. I want to share this with everybody. Right here on the Discord server, Simply Cyber Discord server, there is a local Simply Cyber meetup for Boston. This would definitely be the best place to connect with other people from the Boston space and to find out about this conference there. George Strasburger, I don't know if you're in the Simply Cyber Boston meetup channel, but if you are, please share there as well. Rex with the $5 super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. I saw in the news a cemetery buried a man alive the other day. It was an absolute grave mistake. 100%. 100%. LOL. My goodness. I love it. I love it. I love it. Where's my other? Hold on one second. I'm looking for something. All right. Perfect. All right. Hold on. You get one of these. Oh, also, hey, Reed Hurlbert, Jazzy Jazz, says that Kerberos will default or fall back to NTLM. That's actually a good point. A lot of times protocols will be set up to fall back. We see this with encryption stuff too. So say you're trying to make like a encrypted connection to a web server and you're going to want to use TLS 1.2, but maybe if you're a hacker, you force a degradation. Like you say, oh, this doesn't accept TLS 1.2, and then it falls down to like some less secure protocol, which, or, you know, encryption standard that you can crack, right? These things happen. DMV's meeting up on Tyson. So if you're in the DC Metro Virginia area and you want to meet up for the Simply Cyber local meetup on April 26th, it's going to be one in Tyson's Corner. There will be high fives. I'm getting this right now over the wire. Yes, confirmed high fives will be given. So go get on the Simply Cyber Discord server and giddy up on that. What else we got here? Space Taco's coming in with a question. How you get how you get a reluctant audited to share required info and docs in order to complete the audit. For now, they don't want to share, even though they have to. Yeah, Space Tacos. Typically, it may be too late for this, but so Space Tacos' question is, when you're auditing someone, how do you get them to play along with you? Personally, what I like to do is, there's two things you can do. One, I like to do an audit kickoff, project kickoff, and outline what the purpose is and intent, and explicitly say, we are not here to audit whether or not you're following the policies or processes. If we do uncover that you're not following them, that just means that they're probably not good policies and procedures, and we need to revisit them, not that you are doing them incorrectly. Okay? We're not here to you know, validate you're doing your job right and you know, fire people. That's not what we're here for. We're here to look at what's going on and understand if there's any risk. So kind of set them at ease, make it, use the word assessment. We're assessing instead of auditing. Now, if you discover that Jan in accounting is completely a liability and absolutely making bad decisions, then that'll come out in the wash. And you're not lying to them. You're just saying that's not what we're here to find. But if the results wait, you know, come out that way, then that's what'll happen. Second of all, at this point, it may already be too late because you're already like full blown audit and you can't do the kickoff. What I would say then is basically you have to escalate to the leadership and say, hey, listen, like you should be doing status updates on the audit with whoever your liaison is over on the business side of the house. And you just need to raise it as a risk and say, hey, listen, you know, we're executing the audit. Everything's going well. I do want to call out one particular risk. We're not going to be able to properly ascertain the cyber risk associated with this function because we're not getting buy-in from staff on the information we need. So there's a gap. There's a hole. Just so you know, that'll be called out as a limitation in the audit. I'm delivering exactly what you asked for, but because of the inability to get the information from the business, I won't be able to deliver as good a value. And there will be unmitigated risk associated with that. Basically, put it on the business that this is a problem that they need to handle, and then it'll come down. Now, again, basically, someone's going to get their hand slapped because they're not playing along. But honestly, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully that helps you, Space Tacos. Keith Sloan, Simply Cyber, John Hammond popped into the Try Hack Me Discord last night. He never got to answer my question. Maybe you have a take. Who is your favorite person in the cyberspace on YouTube? Who's your favorite person in cyber on YouTube? Oh boy. You know, I love all the content creators. But I got to tell you, like, I really like John Hammond's stuff. John Hammond, he's a really nice person. If you ever get to meet him, he's a very, very nice person. He's incredibly smart. And he can make content that's both engaging and educational and actionable and wicked valuable. And the way, he could crank out content. Like, I don't even know how he does it as fast as he does. Like, you see something, like, the other day, there was like that video game that got hacked or whatever at the tournament. He had a video up explaining like kind of some of the risks within like 24 hours. Bro, the turnaround time is epic. So for those reasons, I like John Hammond. I'm going to give you kind of a couple. Let me see here. Sorry. You know, there's another sleepy one that's really good. I'm going to give you another one that's really good. Like, it's so good that I actually messaged him. Where is he? This guy right here. You want to talk about a channel that freaking exploded? This guy right here is unbelievably interesting and funny and awesome. His channel is called... I'm not even subscribed. Oh my God, let's fix that. His channel is called Mad Hat. And he did a video on like different certification tiers. And it was really, really good and wicked fun. And I actually DM'd him and I was like, hey, dude, I don't know who you are, and I know you're new to this, but I love your content. Great job. And he's like, thanks, man. He was like really, he was really approachable. He was really cool. And And it's just, he's really, really cool. I don't watch a lot of his content. I'll be, you know, transparent about that. But he's just cool. I really like him. So if you guys know, do you know about him? Dude, look at 71,000 subs, 63 videos. I have 125,000 subs and I have like 1,000 videos. So it just, you know, I'm not saying he's definitely not. He's doing all the YouTube things, but he's making content that is awesome. I just want to show you this. Is there a way to, hold on 1 second. This is a thing called Social Blade. Let me see if I can do it. This is his Social Blade channel, right? Which is basically it's a tool that allows you to see performance and stuff like this. Dude, look at this guy. 9,000 subs a month, no big deal. Just nice and buttery smooth. Ah, oh, so good. Get on your Mad Hat. Thanks for the question. All right, what else we got? Oh my God, wow, okay. Mod chat's getting a little dicey. What else we got? Mike T says, what's up? Yeah, sub to Mad Hat. Oh guys, I don't know if you care about this, but I've been trying to make like shorts and I've been releasing them on LinkedIn and people have been like really enjoying them. I released one on LinkedIn yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this. Normally I don't really like pump my content in during the AMA, but I wanted, oh, look at Daniel Lowry, this guy. Oh, you guys can't see my screen. I love Daniel Lowry. If you're at HackSpaceCon and you see Daniel Lowry, which you won't miss him. He's like a tree. He's awesome. Say hi to him. He's a very nice guy. Very, very nice. Check out this video. I just want to tell you guys. I want to give you a peek behind the curtain on something. So I posted this video yesterday. Okay. I posted this video yesterday, and the video is basically: should you get the A+, Net+, and Sec+ certification? Okay, that was the question. Should you get these certs? And I made a video. You can see the video right here. Here's the honest truth. A+, no. Net+, no. Sec+, yes. Now, I just want to tell you guys, I wrote this post and then I sat there for a solid 5 minutes staring at it before I hit publish because I was, you know, I feel strong about those opinions, but at the same time, I thought it might be controversial or it might rattle some cages or CompTIA might get pissy. So I really waited. And then, you know, the comments flowed in, people were echoing my thing, you know, people, you know, agreed, the comments were good. So I appreciate that. I hope it brings value to some people. I just wanted you to know that I'm not just up here just like, oh, like dial on. Like, you know, I'm judicious when I do these things because I want to make sure I'm pushing out good content for everybody. You know, Andre Park with a super chat. Thanks, Andre.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. I'm in your GRC course. Is there something I should look for in a company while looking for a job? Is there a path from GRC to, say, cyber analyst auditor position? Yes. So, Andre, cyber analyst auditor is a GRC job. So, it's not even a path from GRC to those things. That is, you are in the path. You went into the swimming pool area and there was like multiple lanes and the one that said GRC, you dove into. You are right now holding onto the side of the pool wall in the GRC Analyst Masterclass and like you're kicking your feet a little bit. You're getting wet. You're getting used to the water temperature. But as soon as you let go of the side and turn around and push off the wall, you are in GRC Analyst Auditor world. The last module of my GRC Analyst Masterclass actually explains explicitly how to get a job in cybersecurity as a GRC analyst. I will tell you, Andre, the keywords you should be looking for is compliance analyst, auditor, GRC analyst, FISMA, CMMC, risk auditor, risk analyst, risk assessor, PCI. Those are the things you should be looking for. All right. Let's go. Space Tacos, what would you like to see on YouTube as far as cyber content? Do you think there's a gap in the current content? Is there something that needs coverage? Good question. Wow. I don't know. I'd have to really think about that space tacos, because if I think there's a gap, I kind of try to address it myself. It's hard to make good content. You know what the problem is? Part of the problem is, like, if you don't make good content, like, you know, visually good, good audio, all that, it doesn't reach. So even if there is a gap, if you make trash, it won't fill the gap. That's kind of a thing about cyber content, which is why I would love to make my YouTube course, by the way. I guess, you know, there is a bit of a gap on, you know, what's funny. I might try to do this if I ever get time. There is a bit of a gap on, OSINT type content for sure. And then I honestly think there's a little bit of a gap, and it really would perform well. There's a bit of a gap on, like, calling out secret cows or sacred cows, excuse me, or, you know, hard truths or reality, like kind of like not controversial takes on cyber industry stuff, but there is a lot of that. I don't know. What do you think, Space Tacos? Actually, that, I mean, I can't really run a poll in here, but I would love for chat to comment on what you think the gap is, or what content you'd love to see that you just don't see on YouTube. I feel like there's a lot of, like, not, like, there's probably a gap in a need for, like, lab walkthrough videos that are actually quick. Oh my God, Wild West Hackenfest posting about Joel Belton's ice cream shop potentially. I love it. Good to see you, Joel. Tyler Ramsby, clear InfoSep rack music is the gap. Yes, you know what? So Tyler, I have to DM you. I talked to BSEC before the show started, and I heard some fresh beats. I heard some fresh raps. Very good. If you want, I'd love to talk to you. Actually, hell, I'll just talk to you publicly, right? Tyler, if you want, I'd love to connect you with Red Team Village folks, if you're interested, to see about collabing on some of that stuff. I know that Wild West Hackenfest is in your state, but somehow it's a million miles from you. We could definitely get that going. If you are at Hackspace Con, say hi to Deb Wigley. If you're at Hackspace Con, say hi to Daniel Lowry and Kathy Chambers. If you're at Hackspace Con, say hi to Casually Joseph. Rex coming in with a question. My current plan is Google Cyber Cert, Sec Plus, switch from passive to active job hunting, then decide my next cert while building. Do you think I'm missing something? Yes. So Rex Cognitos, very good. Getting certs, building them in the right order. Active. You say while building my portfolio. I don't know what that exactly means, like what you're putting in your portfolio. But I would say, Rex, two things. One, identify what job you want, right? So GRC analyst, SOC analyst, pen tester, whatever, researcher. Figure the job you want, and then start tailoring practical hands-on lab experience tied to that role and put that in your portfolio. And I'll just give you another example really quickly. Like, let's say you took John Strand's SOC core skills course, okay? There's like 11 different things that you learn in that course. Now, on your portfolio, and this goes for everybody, okay? You take a class like John Strand's SOC core skills. You learn 11 things. On your portfolio, yes, you can put graduated or completed SOC core skills. You get a certificate. That's great. What you really need to put on your portfolio is outlining kind of the 11 things you learned. What was the impact of learning those things? How does learning that skill or those 11 skills deliver business value to a business? Someone needs to be able to look at your portfolio and say, God damn, this dude right here can deliver value to me. He understands, or she understands, this and the impact of my business. This and the impact of my business. That's what a portfolio should do. A portfolio should basically be the sticker on the window selling that car. You're the car. Potential businesses that are going to show up on the lot after the dealership closes and look at that car, that sticker. That's what the portfolio is. And you need to look like a thirst trap to them, basically, on paper. So impact is huge, because if they just see the certificate that you completed a course, they may not know what that course is. They may not know the value of that course. But if you outline the impact that you got from that, the skills you have, chef's kiss. Giddy up. All right, let's go. Do you want me to ask? No. Hold on that. Simply CyberCon for a minute. All right. Tyler Ramsby in the house. Tyler, let me know. Like, I don't know. Is it public knowledge? Is that project public knowledge? I would like to make OSINT content. Space tacos. You know what? You know who's a master of OSINT? Charles Finfrock. He and I are like finding any and every excuse to partner. I don't know if I can show. I have a really cool video, a little teaser for the course that Charles Finfrock and I did, but I don't know how to share audio, unfortunately, and you'll just have to see it later. Oh, you're doing perfect, Rex. Keep it up then. Just make sure you're capturing those impact statements, okay? Tyler, I'm talking about the project you're talking about right now, the one you did with BSEC last night. I don't know if it's private or not. What the frock? Yes, exactly. So I did a micro course with Charles Finfrock. I've got all the A-roll, all the raw material. That'll be coming soon. Honestly, guys, here's an FYI. I have, I know. I have a speaking engagement next week on Tuesday? Wednesday? Let me just show this. I'm pretty open with the community here. Oh my God, bro. I slept awful last night. Okay. So I've got this speaking engagement right here. Oh my God, what is going on here? This event right here. I'm keynoting this event, SC HIMSS Annual Conference. In Greenville, South Carolina, this is an in-person only, no virtual attendance. It's at the Embassy Suites Hilton, downtown Greenville. I'm giving a talk call. It's a one-of-a-kind talk. It's called Siri Scalpel, Please. And it's basically, what you need to know about AI in healthcare. Many of you don't know, or if you don't know, I worked in healthcare for very 6 years doing cyber stuff. I was basically a de facto CISO. I was a cyber architect, which is like the senior lead technical person. Me and Matt Jones had that role. Anyways, TLDR, I'll be doing this on Wednesday. And then coming hot off the heels on that, on Sunday, I'm flying to Las Vegas for 8 days to film the TV show. Many of you know about the TV show, Late Night with Jerry. If you don't, I'm getting a full I'm getting a full TV show produced. It's just a lot. I've got a lot on my plate right now, a lot on my mind. I will execute on it because I'm not a, you know, I was born in the late 70s. I'm an 80s kid. So the work will get done and I will be very happy with it. But it's just a lot right now. And I'm trying to get the course. I'm doing some projects with other vendors, so all the things. Anyway, sorry to dump on you guys. That's not fair. We're here to help you guys, not listen to me bellyache. All right, what else we got? Where we got? What time is it? 9:18. Very good. David B is on his way to Hackspace Con. Can we coordinate right now? Is there like a place to meet up at Hackspace Con? Is there a party tonight? Is there something we should coordinate? I don't know if Black Hills has got a little meetup going. I don't know if Simply Cyber has got a little meetup. James McQuiggan, I don't know if he's there. It's in his backyard. I wish I could have gone to Hackspace Con, guys. I totally would have done it, but I've just got a lot, you know, a lot going on, and family commitments as well. And I'm super pumped. As soon as I get off the stream, hey, here's a fun one. Since there's no question in chat, hey, I don't take a lot of time off, and I took the rest of the day off. And me and Mrs. Osier, we're gonna go see a friend. We're gonna have some lunch, maybe take a nap. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I definitely need a little time off, and I'm super pumped. I'm actually gonna try to take Fridays off. We'll see how that works out. I'll still do the stream on Friday, obviously. Obviously.
You're so.
All right. All right. So Hackspace is small enough that you should be able to see people walking around. If you see Kathy Chambers, tell her low key hashtag Team SC. Deb Wiggly, late 70s babies unite. That's right. The struggle is real. Living La Vida GRC Loca. I love it. Yes, the Denver Wild West Hackenfest, Denver is going to be pretty dope. Are the dates set for that? Are the dates set for that yet? Is the date set for this? I don't know if the dates are set for Wild West Hackenfest December Denver yet, but if you didn't know, is it here? Hey, oh, by the way, if you didn't know, Airport Con, literally Deb Wiggly, the same Deb Wiggly that's in chat right now, her and Jason Blanchard are the first people that you will see when you get to Deadwood. It's awesome. They welcome you. Big smiles. There's snacks. It's good. And I've heard the keynote this year is not too shabby. LOL. I have the distinguished privilege to be one of the keynote speakers this year at Wild West Hackenfest. I'm very excited about it. Okay, so Deb's saying not officially official, but early February. Uh-oh. Guess what also happens in early February? Mrs. Osier's birthday, so that could be a conflict. Can I share knowledge about the NSA CAE? Is it for Americans only? All right, let's take a look. If I think it is what I think it is, then let me look. Yeah, okay, so the Centers of Academic Excellence, okay? Here's the thing. If this is what you're talking about, the NSA CAE, the NSA CAE isn't really for Americans only. It is for American... Well, it's for American institutions, right? The CAE is basically a designation the NSA bestows upon higher education institutions to denote that the education curriculum being taught at that school aligns with work and skills that the NSA values and basically affirms aligns with what cyber warriors need in the modern thing. So basically, if you just like stood up a university and said, oh, we've got a cyber program, like nice, but whatever. If you have the NSA CAE designation, it means you're awesome. Okay. There's three different designations: cyber defense, cyber research, cyber ops. Defense is odd, what it sounds like, blue team, and research is security research. And operations is offensive. Software exploitation, etc. NSA secret squirrel stuff. I do want to point out a couple things since I'm super proud about this. You know who's got a NSA CAE? And I believe the only institution in the United States that holds two NSA CAEs, my very own institution, Dakota State University. You'll note right here, May 2012, they got the NSA CAE for cyber operations, which, wait for it, unlocked the PhD in cyber operations, which then unlocked a very special invitation to be one of the first 12 members in the cohort for that PhD. This guy right here, this You can't see it right here, but this right here is a PhD in cyber operations, and it was part of that initial cohort. I was unbelievably honored and just in awe that I got asked to be part of that initial cohort. Super awesome. They've since gone on and gotten the PhD in cyber defense as well. Me and Rod Rickenbach, who's another guy I graduated with, actually joked about going to get this PhD in cyber defense. But I just got to tell you, it is very rare to find someone with two PhDs, because you would, once you go through it once, you don't want to go through it again. It's a very lonely, grueling, arduous journey. And Kathy Chambers will soon find out, as Kathy Chambers is going through a PhD right now, if you didn't know. Carrie, happy birthday tomorrow. Awesome. Enjoy the weekend. Oh, so Zemith asks, are you still doing the threat hunting class today? So no, I registered for the active countermeasures threat hunting class. I was going to do it, and then I actually had to like take stock of my mental health and my allotment of time I've been spending with family and my wife. And I had to make I basically blocked Fridays on my calendar and said, PTO, PTO, PTO. So I will not be taking the class later today, which, you know, is unfortunate because I would have enjoyed the class, but also I'm having to make, you know, choices, and I've made a choice to spend more time with my wife because I love her and I want to. Like, there's always work. There's always work. I've unfortunately discovered that there's no end to the work. Chris Whitlock, could you further define what is meant by cyber operations? Yes. So Chris Whitlock, cyber operations is offensive security work, basically. They call it, like, think of like in the military, when you got a guy with a weapon and they drop him in a theater and he's like basically commandoing it around. Those are operators, right? You'll hear the term operator used in military jargon quite a bit. They're the tip of the spear. There's everybody that supplies and gives intel and the guy in the chair and all that stuff. And here's your food. Here's the plans. We got a fixed wing. We're going to fly and deploy you. But the person on the ground who everybody is supporting, that is the operator. Operations work is offensive. Inside the PhD of cyber operations program, you learn reverse engineering. You learn software exploitation. You learn malware analysis. And the whole idea is that you're learning all these skills so you could be weaponized as a operator for the United States or wherever you are. And the idea behind this long-term play is 2012, NSA gets this thing. We're pushing cyber operators. We're getting them ready. Oh my God, look at this. 2023, the U.S. government pivots position and has threat forward, hunt, hack back, right? So there's been this like longer play to build a workforce that has the capabilities in the private sector to be able to basically be cyber warriors. Hopefully that answers your question, Chris Whitlock. Yeah, Jazzy Jazz. Jazzy Jazz started a PhD and was like, nah. That's another thing, guys. You have to do a PhD in something that is like very passionate for you. Like the shine of like, ooh, I got accepted to a PhD. Look at me. The shine of that wears off almost instantly, and now it's just you and the work, and it's not for the faint of heart, I'll tell you that. There's a term called ABD, all but dissertation, and it's got a negative connotation inside of academia, and it's basically people that did the coursework of a PhD, but then couldn't finish the research part of it, and there's a lot of those people, and the research is the long pole in the tent. It's very hard. If you're interested in seeing my research, here's my research. I developed a whole new theory using a technique called grounded theory to explain why. This is fancy words. This is all academic nerd speak. But basically, I've discovered the theory behind why information security sucks at small businesses. That was my research. All right. If you're interested, go check it out. Yeah, I got it. Spring 2019. Holler. All right. I got 1 minute. We're going to do like turbos here. Drew says, hey, Jerry, late, but I'm practicing pen testing. Where can I go to learn more about obfuscating my penetration tests? I don't know. What do you mean by that? Like, are you saying, where do you learn how to be like less noisy during your penetration tests? I mean, I guess go check out TCM Academy's PNPT career path. That would be a good one. I mean, honestly, Drew, when you're doing penetration testing, you're not supposed to be super stealthy. The point is you're trying to help the blue team see if they can't see noisy threat actors. But did you ever cover a story about U.S. federal agencies ordered to hunt for signs of Microsoft breach? No, I did not do that story, but let's Google it and see what happened. U.S. federal agencies ordered to look for Microsoft breach. Let's see what we get, Jazzy Jazz. This is April 12th. Oh, this is today. U.S. federal agencies. Here's a bonus story. U.S. federal agencies ordered to hunt for signs of Microsoft breach and mitigate risks. I mean, this has been, this attack came months ago. CIS has been involved. It was initially reported as not a big deal. Then it came out that it was actually a really big deal. I don't know if this is the same thing as China being able to generate golden tickets. If you're ordered to threat hunt in your environment, you should. Hopefully they give indicators of compromise, which is, you know, what you should be looking for in your environment. This is an emergency directive. So this is not a freaking joke. You definitely need to do this. I'm going to drop this link in chat. Thank you, Jazzy Jazz, for sharing it. Look for this in your environment. Okay. This would make a great LinkedIn blog post. Not that you're, found something in your own environment, but helping other people understand how to operationalize threat hunting in their environment for this. Final question, favorite holiday. Tyler Lee, I love Christmas. I love Christmas morning. Everything leading up to Christmas is super stressful, but I love Christmas morning. No one is really working. My phone's not buzzing. We eat good food. I'm with my family. The kids are beaming. You know, I get to like love on my wife. I feel like Christmas is like a day that you get to like pause time and step out of the cycle of like life and work and everything like that. Like I work all the time. Like I'm trying not to be a freaking degenerate workaholic. And I'm like, this is why I had to, block off Fridays. It's like I'm trying to slow down and it's brutal. Which is why I haven't been sleeping well either. But Christmas, I hope everybody else enjoys Christmas. Plus, I get to do the Try Hack Me Advent of Cyber. That's always fun. All right, guys. It's been wicked fun. I genuinely appreciate all of you. Have a great Hackspace Con. Please say hi to Casually Joseph. Do we have a picture? Casually Joseph, can you take a selfie and drop it in mod chat? And then I'll share it on stream. That way people know what you look like. Can we get one? Oh, there he is right there. Check this out. Holy crap. Look at this. If you're at Hackspace Con right now, this is your mission, whether you want to receive it or not. This right here is Casually Joseph. Say hi to him. This right here is Kathy Chambers. Say hi to her. Kimberly McKnight, say hi. Josh Mason, say hi. We got some all-stars here. Straight crushing it. Love it, love it, love it. I'll leave that up there for just a second. If you are at Hackspace Con, high five these people. Hashtag Team SC. It's so good to see you. What a great photo. Love the community. All right, guys, I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Happy birthday, Carrie. Until next time, stay secure. If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single